Welcome to the Investing Tutor Podcast, the show for professionals looking to master the most up-to-date strategies needed to build wealth and provide a stable financial future. Here's your host, Dr. Hans Boateng.
So, for those that don't know me, I go by the name Dr. Hans, the Investing Tutor. Just a quick snapshot of my story. Born and raised in Ghana, West Africa, came to the US. Life for me started in Bronx, New York. So very humble beginnings here in the US. In Ghana, I like to say I lived a upper middle class lifestyle. So pretty much, you know, top 10% of income earners back in Ghana, which is West Africa. And then we got to the US and we're in the bottom 25%. So, you know, pretty much had to, you know, start from the bottom, as they say, started from the bottom. And I encountered this mentor during my college time, and he encouraged me to be open to this idea of entrepreneurship and investing. He recommended a book which I read, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And from that moment, I started to read as much as I could on the topic of investing. Fast forward to 2016, I realized, so college started 2010. Fast forward 2016, I realized that most immigrants, minorities, women, and millennials who aren't from rich and wealthy households, most of this group, which I consider underrepresented, do not truly understand, myself included at that time, you know, prior to me beginning to learn, do not really understand how wealth is built. And from the viewpoints that I was looking at, it was, you know, in America. But this cuts across, right? And I was like, whoa, who is educating and teaching us how to build wealth? And I went and I looked at, you know, kind of like the individuals in the industry. And you'd see popular names at that time in 2016, like Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, and a couple of others. And mind you, at that time, I had read, you know, hundreds of books. So then I could tell that the information that was being disseminated to the general public was a bit skewed. And most importantly, I could tell that the information did not serve this underrepresented group that I, you know, talked to you about. So immigrants, minorities, women, and millennials who aren't born into rich and wealthy households. The typical pay off all your debt, save as much as you can, stay away from debt. You know, don't invest until you have a lot of money in your savings account, XYZ. I realized that the conventional, typical advice works for someone who is expecting a very nice inheritance once they reach, you know, age 60, 65 from their parents. And you, as an immigrant, I looked at my life. I was like, hey, I mean, I'm not expecting, you know, a few million dollars from my parents or a home or two from my parents. So then I have to relook at this strategy as it relates to building wealth in the US. And that's when I began to see that for us to be successful in this country, we cannot follow the conventional rules. We have to tweak it a little bit. If you accept and agree that there is a wealth gap, then following the typical conventional rule that everyone else is following, how are you going to get ahead? Think about that for a second. If everyone is buying an index fund, if everyone is signing up for a 401k, if everyone is just paying off all their debt, how are you going to get ahead? So I realized that, hey, we have to be strategic, especially underrepresented groups, if we want to close this wealth gap. That's when I identified ETFs, exchange-traded funds. In 2016, no one was talking about ETFs. Susie Orman wasn't talking about ETFs. Dave Ramsey certainly wasn't talking about ETFs. And all of the individuals in the financial space were not talking about ETFs. I was. Another thing that I was talking about, which was quite controversial at the time in 2016, was stocks. Buying and owning individual stocks. Once again, it's quite controversial. You know, why should people own stocks? Because the research says that people are not able to pick stocks XYZ. But I identified that there's a pretty simple formula within which individuals can identify some stocks which typically outperform the market. And I was like, hey, why don't we lean in? And when I went to look at the numbers, and I'll share the numbers with you and we'll dive into our conversation today, which is specifically about NFTs and why this topic is near and dear to my heart. So when I went to look at the numbers, I was like, okay, for someone who, let's say we take someone who is able to save and invest $250 a month. If that individual is just putting that money, okay, into a savings account over a 35-year period, so from age 30 to age 65. If it's just going into a savings account, that person, $250 a month, which is $3,000 a year, they would have saved roughly about $108,000 by the time they reach retirement. So savings gets you to $108,000. If that individual was putting the money into a typical bond and equity portfolio. So if you sign up for a 401k, 403b, or a fund that is called a target date fund, and they balance you between stocks and bonds, you're typically going to average about 7%. So investing $250 a month, by age 65, you will net about $475,000. What about the person who's just allocating that $250 a month to an S&P 500, which averages about 10%? That individual can anticipate to have roughly about $1 million over that time frame. So saving is $108,000. Having the target date fund, bonds and equities, which are stocks, is $475,000. Putting the money in an S&P 500 is 1 million. What about an individual who mixes it up, S&P 500 index with some ETFs? Now, let's say that person, instead of 10% average, the person gets a 13% average return. Now they are going from 1 million to 2 million. So they've doubled their wealth just by incorporating ETFs. What about if they add on a few stocks, they sprinkle in some stocks? And let's say they average a 15% compounded return over 30 years. Now they are $3.5 million. You see why I love this idea of kind of sprinkling in some upper bound growth or increasing the growth potential of your portfolio. Now, let me entertain you with this idea. What if an individual now adds on crypto? Bitcoin has been growing at about 170% compounded for the past 10 years. Imagine what that does to an individual's growth. What if they layer on top of the crypto some NFTs, which we'll be discussing tonight? Friends, all I'm trying to say is, if you are part of what I consider an underrepresented group, if you look at yourself and you're like, hey, I need to build wealth. I didn't come from a lot of money. Or maybe a few of you maybe came from money, but you feel like that money isn't yours. You want to build your own money. This is absolutely the session for you. So, the discussion today is on NFTs. What do NFTs stand for? non-fungible token. And I'm not going to get technical tonight. I want to keep it very, very, very basic. The way to think of an NFT or about an NFT is think about it as a token that gives you an ownership claim to something. Okay? So an NFT is simply a token, and that token gives you an ownership claim to something. Okay? Another way to think about it is think of an NFT as a title, right? So if you're someone who perhaps owns a car or you own a home, you know how you have a title for the house or the car, right? That title is going to have your name. The title is going to obviously have a title number, which shows or depicts or confirms that you are the true owner of that house or that car, right? Without a title, you cannot sell your house to someone else because they are not going to be able to know who the owner is. Friends, that's what an NFT is looking to do. It's literally, and once again, I'm simplifying this, it's literally looking to be the digital title, your proof of ownership as the holder of a token, of an NFT. It tells the world that you are the true owner. You have the digital title to whatever the NFT is backing. Whether that NFT is backing a piece of art or it's backing a piece of music, which we will discuss, or, you know, game tokens, or in the future, homes, cars, anything of value. So you can see how for the first time, we have a technology that allows us to have ownership in the digital realm. Prior to tokens being available, specifically non-fungible tokens, prior to that being a technology that we have, there's been no way to claim ownership of anything online, true ownership. NFTs changes that. This is why at this point in time, everything changes for the better. So I remember a conversation that I had with my nephew. He reached out to me. It was quite interesting. He reached out to me and he was like, "Hey Hans, I've been hearing about," and just so you all know, my nephew is in Ghana. "Hey Hans, I've been hearing about this thing called NFTs. And I'm thinking about buying one. Should I go buy one?" And the reason I'm telling you all this discussion is because I think you'd appreciate it. I was like, "No, don't buy an NFT until you educate yourself about it." And he's like, "Okay." And he's like, I want to ask you a question, Uncle Hans. Can't anyone just copy the picture of the NFT? Why are some of them so expensive? Can't someone just take the picture?" And I said, "Sure. Someone can copy the picture. It's pretty much like, you know, let's say there was something incredibly valuable. Yes, this came to mind. Let's say there was a Lamborghini parked outside, right? And someone walking by took a picture of that Lamborghini. Sure, the person owns a picture of the Lamborghini, but do they own the Lamborghini? No. You see, because the Lamborghini is there in the physical world, you'd be like, well, that one, that's physical. Well, it's pretty much the same. What if the Lamborghini was in the metaverse and someone was walking by in the metaverse and saw the Lambo, right? And you have a picture of that Lambo. Does that mean you own that Lambo in the digital realm? No, you do not. So then I was breaking this down to him, and he's like, well, what if I copy the picture and then I go and create an NFT of that picture? And I was like, wow, you are really diving deep. That's like Inception. And I was like, sure, you can do that, but it will be fake. And he's like, what do you mean by it will be fake? I said, because it's not the original copy. A token was created for the first original piece of art. And that token is on the blockchain. Everyone knows this is the original token because each token has, let me just call it, a serial number. And everyone knows that's the original serial number denoted to that particular painting. So any other replica of that painting is fake. And I asked my nephew, could someone create a look-alike Nike shoe? He's like, yes, but he said, yes, but something might be different. Maybe the logo might be different, or the spelling of Nike, they might tweak it in such a way. And I was like, oh, you begin to see how when something is not authentic, it cannot have the same serial number, in quote, as the original. And I left him with this last punchline. And I was like, any fake copy of the original, one, it's further promoting the value of the original copy. And two, you as an individual, you can never get the value of that original piece. And also, if let's say you manage to, in quote, try and scam people to sell that, sooner or later people are going to identify that what you're doing is fake, and it's over for you. So what does that mean? It means that on the blockchain there is digital proof of the original copy of everything, whether it's art, music, XYZ. It was fun to see my nephew walk away and say, wow, now I get it. The fact that he understands that there is this, in quote, serial number that authenticates that original piece. Every single NFT has a series of numbers that make that particular asset behind the NFT, or the asset that the NFT is backing, that is what authenticates it. Complete game changer. Now, with regards to the news that came out with Nas, I believe Nas, Joyner Lucas, Coinbase, Chainsmokers, and a couple of others. It was a round of funding for this company. They go by the name Royal. And they are creating pretty much an NFT platform that allows emerging artists. And I'm sure they'll probably attract some of the established artists to be able to issue an NFT. I want to break down how revolutionary this is for the music industry and also for us as investors or collectors. I guess collectors would be the better word to use. So for the longest time, artists, if they want to, let's say, go out there, they have to and make it big. They have to be backed by a record label, because often the record label will have kind of like the money and they'll give them that kind of bonus. Hey, go produce your music and we're going to take care of, you know, everything else. From my understanding, the record labels often make pretty much about 80%, sometimes more, of what an artist should make, okay? So then it's not necessarily that an artist needs a record label, especially in a world where we have access to Spotify, Apple Music, XYZ, right? You have streaming channels, people are on there. Like, you don't necessarily need a record label. So then what if an artist can cut out the record label? Yes, the artist needs money, but what if the artist can issue NFTs? The NFTs allows early fans to be able to buy an ownership stake in the upcoming album or the upcoming single of the artist. So as soon as early fans purchase this token, it immediately transfers the value, right? The dollar value or the fiat currency value to the artist. So if the artist sells, I don't know, $1 million to $5 million worth of tokens, immediately the artist has that money to be able to go work on the project, hire a team, whatever he or she wants to do. And now the fans own the token to the music or the album. And what happens is once that album or once that single drops, the artist is literally can decide to share half of all the revenue moving forward. You all listen to this. This is huge. The artist can choose to share half of all their revenue from the album or the single moving forward, specifically with the token holders, those early fans. And anytime someone is streaming the music on Spotify or Apple or Pandora, any platform, the token holders are making money. 50% of all the revenue will be divvied up amongst those token holders. And they can, and for as long as those token holders hold on to their NFT, they keep earning money in perpetuity. Now, let's say a token holder wants to sell the NFT that they own, because maybe during the minting of the NFT or the purchasing of the NFT, instead of buying one, they decided to buy five of them. That's the beauty about this space. You are not limited to buying only one token. You can buy as many as you want. Often, they might say, hey, there's a max of maybe 10 per person or 20 per person or 5 per person. It just kind of depends. But you are not limited to only one token. So let's say someone purchased 5. And later on, when the album or the single is a hit, there are people scrambling, wanting the token. That creates a demand for the token, which means the value of the token to the market is going to appreciate because people want it. So then people are going to be bidding the price of that token up. So not only is a person able to make money by holding on to the token and getting those distributions as the album and the single continues to be a hit, an individual, if they have more than one NFT, can choose to sell the token to a potential buyer. And let's imagine someone paid, let's say, $100 for the token. And now in the secondary market, someone wants to pay $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. That's the beauty of this technology, you all. All of a sudden, artists can create digital tokens, NFTs, distribute them to their early fans, share revenue with them. The fans can choose to hold on to the tokens and receive those distributions, or if they purchase more than one, they can resell it in the open market. This, what I just described, is the reason why you see Nas investing in Royal. Is the reason why you see Joyner Lucas investing in Royal. Is the reason why Chainsmokers is investing in Royal. And this was just the first round of funding. Companies, as they grow, will go back for more, you know, seed rounds. You will see even more artists move into the space. What an, like, it just blows my mind. When I saw the announcement, I was like, wow. For those who perhaps don't understand what's happening, we're moving from what's called Web 2 to Web 3. And Web 3 is, in many ways, a tokenized world where many of the platforms, okay, so for example, like YouTube is a platform, Google is a platform, Netflix is a platform, Roblox, for example, you know, is a platform. Many of the platforms that we saw in Web 2, Facebook is a platform, Instagram is a platform, Snapchat is a platform. Many of the platforms that we saw or we are accustomed to in Web 2, in Web 3, those platforms or most of the platforms in Web 3 are going to have tokens. So users of the platform are not just there to share their data, and that's it. In this new world that we're about to enter, we are not coming in just to share our data. We're coming in to own tokens of those platforms. This is going to be the greatest wealth building opportunity in our lives for people who understand this concept. If there's nothing you take away from my discussion this evening, take one thing away. I need to own tokens of platforms that I love, use, you know, everyone uses XYZ. And trust me, you're not going to have all of the answers right now. We are literally like in the early part or early portion of the internet. It's so early. It's like we're like 1997, 1999 of the internet. All of this is going to be building up over the next 10, 15 years. So if there's anything you want to remember over the next decade as this evolves, it should be this. I need to own tokens of platforms that I find myself using constantly, okay, if those platforms issue tokens. And those tokens will be NFTs. That's what you should understand. So when you hear NFT, don't think it's just digital art. An NFT is more than art. So, just this week, Jay-Z was part of the investors for Gemini. They raised about $400 million to invest in the metaverse. And Jay-Z, I saw it there, Marcy Ventures. And I was like, oh, wow. Nas is investing in, you know, this NFT platform. Jay-Z has a stake in Gemini. Obviously, Jay-Z partnered up with Jack Dorsey. They are issuing 500 Bitcoin to Africa and India. They are going to be announcing the three board of directors that they are picking for that initiative. So as you can tell, like, Jay-Z has been super early with crypto. He even has a CryptoPunk, for those that don't know. Pay attention to where, like, one, big money is moving to, but two, the icons that many of us as kind of like immigrants, minorities, the icons that we look up to, right? For most of us, is these like rap artists and celebrities. Look at what the savvy ones are doing. It tells you the future. This is, I'll give this one example of how tokenization, right, having tokens of platforms you use could like unlock so much wealth for an individual. So many of you heard the announcement of crypto.com buying the naming rights, right, of the stadium. It was a $700 million deal, the Lakers stadium. $700 million deal. You all, many people might not know, but crypto.com has tokens, or if I should say, they have a token or a coin called CRO. Okay. When crypto.com, since they've announced the acquisition of the naming rights, the value of their tokens shot up 400%. To put that into perspective, okay, it is my understanding, and I'm trying to pull numbers off the top of my head. So in terms of the value that I'm going to be sharing with you, it could be much more than this, but I definitely don't think it's less. So from my understanding, just the announcement alone allowed this token, CRO, to increase its value by about 400%. Adding an additional $4 billion or $10 billion to crypto.com's tokens. You all, they are spending $700 million over 20 years. So this company is not even paying $700 million up front, okay? They are paying $700 million over 20 years. And once they made the announcement, the value of their tokens or the market cap of the company or the tokens increased by $4 billion at least, or I believe it's $10 billion. What does that mean? The announcement more than paid for that acquisition of the naming for the naming rights of the stadium. Just the announcement. That is the power of Web3. Imagine, many other crypto companies have seen this. Do you think that they are going to sit around? We're definitely going to hear even more naming rights. By the time that you realize, most crypto companies are going to be everywhere. Super Bowl commercials, XYZ. Why? Because they can just issue, they can have tokens, like just have a big move. Maybe a crypto company is now working directly with, any popular basketball player, right? King James, or someone partners with Will Smith, or Jada Smith, or Beyonce, or Kim Kardashian, who knows? all of a sudden, the token or the value of their tokens skyrockets beyond what they have been paying for that partnership. And each token holder benefits. The fascinating thing is, if you are someone who perhaps you use crypto.com, I don't, but let's say you use crypto.com. Ideally, based on what I told you, remember what I had said, if you use a platform and you love a platform, you need to have tokens associated with the platform. Keep that in mind for the next 10 to 15 years. If it's a platform you love, there's no reason why you should not own tokens of the platform if they issue tokens. Now, does that mean that's just a simple strategy for knowing or being able to identify projects that will skyrocket? Absolutely not. But it's the best strategy for someone that doesn't want to get too technical as it relates to analyzing different platforms or projects. It's the simplest thing. And the likelihood of winning with this strategy is way higher than the few losses that you're going to take. So always keep that in mind. So yeah, before I open it up to questions, I wanted to share this. You all, we are just witnessing a monumental shift as it relates to the ability to build wealth. You know, certain laws were passed in the US that blocked or prevented individuals from being able to access early investments. The idea was that a retail investor, so you and I, we are not savvy enough to be able to identify good companies at their early stages. So let's just prevent, you know, anyone who doesn't have over $1 million or anyone who's not making several hundreds of thousands of dollars on a year-to-year basis. Let's just cut them out from being able to access what's called the private markets. That's why individuals are not able to invest in, let's say, Facebook when it was new, or PayPal when it was new, or Coinbase when it was like worth like $5 million versus now it's worth almost $100 billion. And that is what entrenched wealth inequality. The fact that only rich people can invest in what the government calls risky investments meant the rich people got even richer. Crypto is doing away with that. If a company issues a token, anyone can buy the token. And the person doesn't need to be in the US. The person can be in Nigeria, like my good friend Victor. The person can be in Ghana. Person could be anywhere. Doesn't matter. Once there's an internet connection, that individual can have access. This changes everything. So you all, I will be hosting an NFT masterclass. I was just giving you kind of like a high level feel for what's to come as it relates to NFTs and the importance of getting ahead with regards to knowledge. This is the greatest opportunity. You know, at the beginning of this year, when I disclosed that, well, it wasn't the beginning. The beginning is when I started to shift a lot of my assets into crypto. I'd say around between January and March, I began to shift a lot of my assets into crypto. And by April, May, half of all of my entire assets were in crypto. Half of it, 50%. And many people thought, oh my gosh, half? People thought, like, what's this guy up to? People are thinking, oh my gosh, that sounds so risky. And I'm like, if you understand what's happening, you wouldn't think what I'm doing is risky. And I'm not even, I'm not saying this to tell anyone listening to go put 50% of the assets in crypto. Please do not. Okay. My risk tolerance is absolutely different from yours. But I did, because I had done the research, I had done my due diligence, and I saw the opportunity, and I wasn't going to let that pass by. And another factor which I have to disclose, because maybe people might not understand this, is for most of that rebalancing, I did it with new capital, okay? So it's not like I went and sold my investments and then put the money into crypto. Most of it was with new capital. My best friend actually did what I'm describing, which is he was like, hey, Hans, I need to have more allocation to crypto. So for me, I'm selling my stocks and then diverting the money into crypto. So he did it. He was bold. He was like, I'm going all in, which I commend him. It's the greatest opportunity that I've ever witnessed. So with that being said, I'm hosting an NFT masterclass. It is going to be a give and take about a 2-hour masterclass, but the most valuable component of this masterclass, in my opinion, is the 9-month period where each and every member gets to hang out in this amazing Telegram group chat. Sure, the education is going to provide you the know-how. You're going to learn about NFTs. You're going to learn how to be able to identify projects. You're going to be able to know and understand the DNA behind the best projects. You're going to be able to set up your wallet. You're going to be able to transfer tokens from one wallet to another. You're going to be able to learn how to swap between tokens. You're going to learn about gas fees on Ethereum. You're going to learn so much in that 2-hour masterclass. But despite all of the incredible things that you're going to learn, in my opinion, the most valuable thing that you're going to get is this community that we're going to have for the next 9 months, from November to July. The ability to be in this group where we're talking about NFT projects as they launch. Imagine in this group of hundreds of people, someone identifies a project, brings it in, and then we're just pouring through it, and we're able to analyze that project as a group. Like, it is life-changing. So it's not the you as an individual, you're not carrying the weight of having to figure everything out by yourself. For your first 9 months in NFT land, if you will, you have the support of this amazing community I'm putting together. And I'm going to, and I didn't want to say this, but I'm going to share this with you all, being that you're taking the time to be here to listen. I will be dropping 2 NFT projects next year. One will be dropped early January. The other will be dropped late spring, early summer. The projects that I'm dropping early January, I think the group for that, they know who they are because they are part of my $1 million portfolio program. And I'll share more about it as the time, you know, approaches. But the projects that I'm launching end of spring, beginning of summer, is mind-blowing in terms of the value that is going to come with that project. And I'll be honest, the individuals who are part of this NFT masterclass are going to have their literal first dips before any and everyone has access. And yes, there will be a limited number of tokens. And if you're someone, I'll drop just a hint here, just so you know, if you're someone who perhaps you have a dream, maybe you haven't visited Ghana before, West Africa, or maybe you visit Ghana, but when you are in Ghana, you don't have like this VIP super experience where you're able to get into any program. You're able to, I don't want to share so much, but this NFT is the unlock. Literally is the unlock for you. I'll leave it at that. So you all, the NFT Masterclass is happening December 5th, but it goes on sale. I was going to say it goes on sale Wednesday, but what I'm going to do is as we go through questions XYZ, I'll try and see if I can pin the link to the masterclass right here in Clubhouse so that if you're here, you can get access to this NFT masterclass plus the Telegram group tonight. So there's no waiting for you. But yes, I am launching it or taking it live on my social media platforms tomorrow. I'll say anywhere between 7 to 8 p.m. I have to decide what time that is. But yeah, you all, so much incredible opportunities. And yes, you're listening to me talk about launching two NFT projects. But I want you to know, if you are passionate about something and you want to create a community or a group around that thing, you, my friend, you can launch your own NFT project. You can launch your own NFT project. And guess what? If you launch an amazing project, and let's say it's between now and, you know, July, if you're part of the NFT Masterclass, why wouldn't we want to showcase your project to the members in the group so that they can decide if they want to be a part of your community? So there's so many amazing things that will be happening over the next 9 months. For me, it's an honor and a delight to spend all of my waking hours, or most of my waking hours, you can ask my wife, she'll confirm, literally constantly making sure I'm up to date with information as it relates to building wealth. And I see crypto slash NFTs slash Web3, which pretty much is all the same thing, as being the unlock for us. So let me go ahead and bring Chris up. And yeah, we'll go from there. Chris, brother.
Hey, how are you?
Doing very, very well. Go ahead, tell the audience a little bit about you, and then we'll have them up for questions.
Sure. My name is Chris. Hello, everyone. I joined Dr. Hans for about a year now, and just a little bit before that, I was really interested in building generational wealth for me, myself, and my family. And about 4 years ago, I really got into cryptocurrency, specifically Bitcoin, and then deep diving into Ethereum. My job originally is a spine surgical physician assistant here on the East Coast, and taking the passion I've learned on how to dive deep and study really hard on one particular subject was really easy because I took that same approach to something like Bitcoin and Ethereum. And now I'm starting to see this same type of obsession with myself diving into NFTs. And I was able to cross paths with Dr. Hans about a year ago. And I'm seeing this guy, and I really gravitate towards his message and generational wealth. In fact, he's impacted my life for the for the better, and collectively, I think for the past 2 years now, I've spent over 1,000 hours studying this particular field of cryptocurrency and NFTs. And all I want to do now is be like Dr. Hans and share this opportunity for people who are curious about this particular venture, NFTs, cryptocurrency, I find so much pleasure in giving value to people who come out and seek, you know, knowledge in a subject they know nothing about. It's something that I believe wholeheartedly that if you take the time to learn and be curious, that you will find something that you're interested in this particular world, which will be here for the rest of eternity. Your kids, your grandchildren are going to grow up with this, so you might as well learn about cryptocurrency and NFTs, because it's here to stay, and we are so early to this particular universe. You should start, if you don't leave this clubhouse feeling excited about the potential of what can be, then you need to check your pulse. So I joined Dr. Hans for the past year here, and just every month or two, I just get reinvigorated with energy to teach people and learn more about the space and just kind of be like a mentor or a Sherpa or a guide for those who are curious about the subject matter. Thanks.
Yeah, Chris, thank you. It's always amazing to have you. So Chris is a part of BA Crypto Club, which is Bitcoin Africa Crypto Club. And for those who don't know, it's not specifically for Africa. It was just the namesake, you know, wanting to denote that club to the continent of birth. And we do a lot of crypto discussions in, you know, Bitcoin Africa, BA Crypto Club. And Chris is just an absolute incredible contributor and expert in the platform. And Chris has joined the NFT Masterclass as well. So for those who haven't seen, at the very top of this Clubhouse chat, there's the link. If you are passionate about what this next 5-10 years is going to look like, go ahead, tap on that link. We'll be high-fiving in the Telegram group later this evening once I get off. But yeah, if anyone has any questions, go ahead, raise your hand. Or I see a lot of familiar faces here in the followed by speakers. So if there's anyone who I'm even connected with who just wants to come up and chat, please raise your hand. I'd love to bring you up so we just chat for a bit. And I don't want to, you know, take too much of your time, knowing that it's a weekday, but we'll try and get out of here in the next, let's say, 30, 35 minutes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I had a quick question, sir.
Yeah.
So I live in Japan, which locally is 14, 15 hours, depending on daylight savings. So with 9 months coming up with the masterclass that you will be having, is it going to be recorded where I can pretty much play back after my day of work, or what is the setup for that?
Yeah, Kofi, everything will be recorded. So the live masterclass will be recorded. Any conversations or discussions that we have with the group, which more than likely could potentially be like a private Clubhouse chat. So, you know, people might never see me post about it, but maybe I might drop a Clubhouse private link within the Telegram, and we can all hop on chat. That will also be recorded. And members of the NFT class will have access to it. So yeah, everything will be recorded. I'm super excited for it. As I dive more into this space, it's just so invigorating.
Yes, sir. I'm excited. My last question was, I know you mentioned about, you know, with the platforms that you frequent or you use, go ahead and make sure you can grab some tokens in it. How do you find out if those platforms offer tokens?
Yeah, so typically those platforms should disclose that.
Okay.
Another way is you'd be able to also search on like a CoinMarketCap.
Yes, sir.
CoinMarketCap literally lists all of the, you know, the crypto tokens or crypto assets out there. So that would be a great way. So, for example, if a person was curious, that's Axie Infinity, which is their play to earn, you know, Web3 game. Does Axie Infinity have a token? You go into CoinMarketCap.com, you type Axie, and does a token pop show up, right? Binance, that's a token show up. Crypto.com, that's a token show up. So once again, I shared with you a very basic framework, right? Obviously, just because we love a platform does not necessarily mean the platform has to be successful. But one thing that I know for sure to be true is this. If a lot of people love a platform, they are committed to using the platform, and the platform is constantly innovating and becoming better over time, they will continue to win. That I know as a base, like baseline, right? So try and put some thought into the companies that you want to own tokens of. Sure, you love the platform, but can you push yourself to go and read a little bit more? What are their goals and ambitions? Is it just you that loves the platform, or are other people? Do other people love the platform? What are the reviews like on the App Store? Right, go beyond just conventional thinking and push yourself to do some due diligence. Does that make sense?
It does.
Awesome, awesome. Kofi,
thank you.
Great to have you as part of the group.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Dr. Hans. Yes. This is Tanya. How are you?
Very well, Tanya. How about you?
I'm great. First, I just want to thank you so much for holding this clubhouse. This is my first time coming on to hear you speak, and I've followed you on Instagram, and I'm a beginner. I'm new. So I thank you so much for this information. Just a little bit that I've heard so far has definitely intrigued me. Yes. My question for you is, in the masterclass, I'm a beginner. I know a little bit enough to be dangerous about crypto and NFTs, but is the masterclass, will it be geared towards beginners to learn and understand the fundamentals of crypto and NFTs?
Yes, phenomenal question, Tanya. So yes, the title, if you were to click the link above, you'd see that the title states that it is an NFT masterclass for beginners.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I did not click on it. Thank you.
Oh, no, not a problem. But not a problem. But I want to dive in further. So yes, I'm literally thinking about this as I'm holding everyone's hand, right? So someone who doesn't know anything about NFTs, can I introduce that individual to NFTs? Can I help them, you know, set up a wallet? Can they learn how to fund the wallet? You know, what is the ideal or appropriate wallet for even purchasing NFTs? What website should you use? How do you mint an NFT? How do you analyze projects? How do you know the best people to follow in the NFT space? So literally, you're just getting a two-hour masterclass to take a person from beginner to extremely knowledgeable about this space, enough to make them very dangerous.
Okay. And one other question, and then I'll be done. During the masterclass or even outside of it, are there any books that you recommend or any books that maybe Chris would recommend for someone that wants to learn the basics that can, I call it crypto or NFTs for dummies. I use that phrase loosely. Are there any books that you would recommend?
Sure. So there are two books. One, if it's for crypto, it's the Bitcoin Standard. So definitely look into that. It's by Saifedean Ammous. So Bitcoin Standard. And for NFTs, if you want a book, this one was written by a fellow brother. The book is called The NFT Handbook. Both of these books could be found on Amazon. So the NFT handbook, which is how to create, sell, and buy non-fungible tokens. So the NFT handbook for NFT education and the Bitcoin standard to educate yourself about Bitcoin and crypto.
Thank you.
I would throw one extra book into the mix as well. This one was made by someone who's well known in the crypto community, but it's called The Internet of Money. And there's three volumes of it, but I really like the first two. It's made by a guy named Andreas Antonopoulos. I would put him in the Mount Rushmore of people who get others inspired into what is so special about the world of cryptocurrency. What is wrong with our current system, and why are all of these people freaking out into this cryptocurrency, saying it's the greatest thing ever? What is it disrupting? Why is it so special? And I think if you read the book called The Internet of Money, you will. It's a collection of small speeches from the guy, and they are very inspiring and they're very easy to understand. And it was one of the first books that I got that I just couldn't put down. Every chapter was a story that he told on stage somewhere at some point, and you just get so excited about the space. And also, The Bitcoin Standard, I also recommend by Saifedean Ammous. It's a book that essentially takes a look at what is money, how did we come to what is money, and then kind of breaking it down into its simplest form and why the current system we have is different than what this proposed Bitcoin, if we all lived on a Bitcoin standard, would look like. And there's a lot of interesting and provocative thoughts and theories about it. And it's definitely worth a read.
Absolutely. Dr. Ndidi Amaka, I know you've been waiting for a while.
Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. So, Dr. Hans, my question is, are there any avenues in which this wealth that we generate from NFTs and crypto gets passed down to, let's say, our children and our children's children, right? So like our grandmothers in Ghana and Nigeria, you know, they had bank accounts full of money. And then when they passed on, someone in the family was entitled to that money, or the children were entitled. And that's how the wealth got passed down. But now with cryptocurrency and, let's say, NFTs and, you know, these tokens of ownership, how will that get passed down? Do you tie them into, you know, like wills or revocable living trust, or how does that work, or has that even been figured out?
Oh my gosh, as you are asking the question, like my body was just getting like the chills, because
okay,
that's the
wait,
beauty.
So that I'm gonna, if it hasn't been done, don't steal my idea. That's what I'm gonna do.
Well, you can certainly polish it up, but that's the beauty of this technology, because it actually exists. So let me break it down for you. Let's say I am, you know, acquiring crypto assets, Bitcoin, ETH, NFTs, and tokens of platforms that I will be, you know, using, and I love and I see potential growth in them over the long term, and the other digital asset tokens that I have, or maybe some land on the metaverse, whatever. I can hold all of these tokens or digital assets in a crypto wallet, okay? Now, I don't want to get too technical. There's cold storage, there's a hot wallet, but that doesn't even matter. Here's the thing, Ndidi. If you want someone to have the assets in your wallet, you can share your seed phrase with that individual. Let me put it this way. Anyone that you share your seed phrase with, they own your assets, period. So let's say you decide to share, what I'm about to say is controversial, but please bear with me. Let's say someone is dating someone and you're like, oh my gosh, I love this person so much. You haven't exchanged vows, but you're like, I love this person so much. I'm going to share everything with them because I'm in love. And you share your crypto seed phrase with them. If, just so you know, the day you, it doesn't matter whether your crypto is in a hot wallet or cold wallet, right? Whether it's online or offline, like if you share your seed phrase with that individual, anywhere with an internet connection, that individual can literally transfer all of your crypto wallets into their custody and it's done. Period. So from the standpoint of an inheritance, think about it. Back in Africa, when or in Ghana to be exact, when someone dies, family people, everyone begins to quarrel and argue and there's a hierarchy of this person should get this and this person should get this and this person should do this and that. With crypto, there's none of that. First and foremost, if that individual does not leave the seed phrase with anyone, then the crypto is gone. It is gone forever. No one is going to have it, period. So that's one. Two, if that individual shares the seed phrase with whoever they want to own their digital property, once that person passes, the individual just goes to any crypto wallet, any, enters the seed phrase, and boom, all the assets of that individual appears right on a smartphone or laptop. That is the beauty of cryptocurrency. Doc, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to know. So I think the important thing is for those of us who have established, you know, a means to transfer wealth, like a revocable living trust, it's very important for that seed phrase, which is like, you know, the password to your crypto account. It's very important for that information to be recorded in an RLT, right?
That's assuming
access to all the wealth.
Well, that's assuming no one can actually see that seed phrase, right? So this is where you can begin to think of ideas of how can I create a system within which someone can keep a seed phrase within a trust or within some type of entity where that is not disclosed to anyone until that person passes, right? So yeah, you can begin thinking about ways to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, thank you.
My absolute pleasure.
I have there is some updates in terms of what can be done in this particular.
I can't hear you, Chris.
I'm sorry. How about
yeah,
now? Is this quote better? Yeah. Okay. There are some updates to that. What Dr. Hans has described is a very black or white situation. Either option A, you die and no one else has your seed phrase, and whatever was attached to that particular digital wallet is lost forever. Option two is you share that seed phrase with somebody and say, please don't take it until I die, right? And there's a lot of trust you have to put in to that one particular person. Very black and white scenario. There are a lot of people who are getting older who feel the same way of how do I ensure that I can pass this on to who I want when I die. There are small companies that are out there that are saying, hey, because this is programmable money, because we can attach certain rules to when this money can leave this wallet, let's apply some parameters to it so that when those events occur, when certain conditions are met, the seed phrase will be sent to the trustee, or the contents of that digital wallet will be sent to the individual of the trustee. There's a lot of gray area because a lot of people are, or they deal with the world of trust. They say, well, how do I know the company I'm asking to do this for me is not going to just take my seed phrase and run off with it, right? And the beautiful thing about this digital currency is that we are currently building ways into the money itself through code so that we can inevitably not have to worry about trusting a third party to hold that responsibility to pass my crypto onto my grandchildren or my kids. That's being built right now. And some ways we can do this is by creating multiple keys, for example, multiple signatures. Imagine with me, for a small example, let's say I have some Bitcoin in a wallet and I want to give it to my kids when I die. And instead of me just having one of one key, let me create a scenario where I have three keys, three very unique keys that when somebody uses two of those three keys, they now have access to obtaining my wealth. If they only have one of my keys, it doesn't work. But if they have two of my keys or all three of my keys, then they can withdraw whenever they want. Because this is programmable money, this situation is actually occurring. It's a scenario called multi-sig, meaning multiple signatures required. There are people right now who are thinking just like you, Doctor, on this. And they're trying to make a company that is trust minimized so that, for example, I hold one key. A company who is my trust holds the second key. And, for example, my loved one holds the third key. And if I die, that second key, that one key that I have, somehow gets transferred to the other person, right? So without it, they cannot open my stuff. So I want to just kind of, just before I dive too deep into it, I just want to illuminate that this scenario, this question, this concern is already being tackled. And it's being tackled through Bitcoin, through the people in Ethereum, through Cardano. Everyone wants to make sure they build the perfect trustless system so that I can pass generational wealth to my family members without having to rely on a third party. It is being built, but it is so new and it is really hard to tackle this question with confidence. But I am very sure that in 5-10 years from now, the digital world is going to evolve, that we're going to tackle this question with ease. It'll be done. And maybe you're the one who does it. So go on out there, figure you need to learn more about digital currencies and how these work, and you might run into the right people who are trying to solve this problem already. Right? So we are right there. We are thinking ahead.
Wow, thank you.
Yes, and I also believe that the problem can be solved by multiple groups of people, right? Because at the end of the day, sure, there could be a technical solution, but what if there was a service that you were able to offer so that there was that connection that you can build and that trust that you can build with your potential, in quote, clients, right? So the future is just very bright. It's super early to the point where individuals who are early to this new space, there's so much you can do. You can launch NFT projects. You can think of solutions to the marketplace. You can educate, right? There's so many things that you can do in this crypto verse, right, or crypto economy, so to speak. Lydia. Lydia, are you still there? And you all will be wrapping up in about, give and take, 5, 10, 15 minutes. So if you do have a question, you can raise your hand and we'll bring you up.
Dr. Hines, just, yeah, real quick, before Lydia goes, when you were talking about, you know, this new thing about kind of cutting out the record labels and, you know, different artists launching NFT projects and us as their followers and supporters being able to buy into their projects, you mentioned something about 50%, like them being able to offer 50% of their project in the form of NFTs. Is that what you said? I can't remember exactly what you said, but if that was what you said, why 50%?
It could be any percentage.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So they could choose to share 50% of their revenues moving forward or profits. It could be, they could choose to do 25% of it. They can choose to do 80% of it. The beauty of crypto, which once again, you all will come to appreciate with time, is when you think about, you know, and I know Bitcoin just got Taproot approved, so we're going to see more smart contracts on Bitcoin. But when you think about platforms like Ethereum or others, right, there's this concept of smart contracts. What that means is that you can program something into, you can program something into the contract or the agreement, which is fixed. Once it's, you know, initiated, that's it. So let's say this artist decides that, hey, I'm going to give half of everything that I earn on this particular album to early token holders. It is set in stone. If the artist changes their mind later, it doesn't matter. They cannot reverse it. It's done. It's like set in stone. And everything is automated. So every time that, let's say, money comes from, let's say, Spotify and Apple to the wallet of the artist, it's initially going to initiate the transaction. Instantly, half of it is going to be taking off. And then the half will instantly be distributed into the wallets of token holders. There's no human that needs to do this. The smart contract is doing every single thing by itself. That's the beauty of NFT. So another thing that you come to learn as we dive into NFTs in this masterclass is the artist or the founder of the project can state that, hey, whenever this NFT project that I'm creating, anytime someone resells it to someone else, I get to keep 10% of that purchase. And that can be programmed into that NFT for life. So for example, projects like Bored Ape Yacht Club or others, you know, CryptoPunks, they might, or VFriends, they might have a percentage built in, you know, Boss Beauties, they might have a percentage built in. It could be 10%, it could be 5%, it could be whatever percentage they decide. And without you going and doing any work, just with you literally sitting at home or in an office, anytime someone sells that project anywhere, like think about that for a second. Like you don't even need to be tracking to see is someone hiding somewhere to, like, you know, initiate a deal that I don't know about. If there is a sale that happens on the blockchain, it's automatically going to take your 10% off the top and straight deposit it into your wallet. That is the power of NFTs this new crypto economy is going to do so much. And I'm just like so excited for what the future holds. Lydia.
Hi, Dr. Hans. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask about the link that you mentioned earlier, and also thank you to Chris for all the information. I'm super excited to be here. You might recognize my name. I've been in a couple of your programs, and I'm definitely interested in the master class, but I don't know where you have the link. Where can I find that one?
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. Great to know you've been through a couple of my programs. Right above on this Clubhouse page, go ahead and just scroll to the top, you know, where it says, like, you know, NFTs coming for the music industry. Right below that, do you see a link up above the page?
I do not. I think because I'm on my iPad, I don't see a link. I see like a paper, but it doesn't give me anything. It has a guideline for the community.
Gotcha. Yeah. Probably on the iPad, it's not showing up. What I will do, though, is, Lydia, go ahead and DM me. And by DM, you know, you can reach out via Instagram if you're on there. And what I'll do is I'll go ahead and send the link over to you. So if there's anyone listening right now who does not see the link above on Clubhouse, go ahead and DM me, reach out via Instagram. I'll send that special link to you so that you can go ahead and secure your seat and not have to worry about, you know, the program potentially selling out. Yeah, I'm looking to kind of cap it at a max of about 1,000 individuals. Yeah, and so far, I think we're pretty close to about halfway there. So, go ahead and reach out to me on Instagram, and I'll go ahead and send that link your way.
Thanks so much. And Ndidi, sorry, I loved your question. I think that was one of the things I was worried about. Even for a couple of accounts that I'm holding now with CryptoCo, I don't know how to make those sort of designations for future generations, but I'm super stoked to learn more about it. And thanks for the references, Chris.
Yeah, I just thought it was important because, even, you know, past generations, especially in the Black and Brown communities, you know, all throughout the world, we did have wealth, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily secured and passed down. And so we find ourselves that, you know, having these disparities in our community. So I would just hate for so many of us to acquire so much wealth through the NFT realm, but, you know, it not be secure. So that if something happens, it just dissipates and, you know, gets lost rather than actually transferring to future generations.
I think there's a website called casa.io, casa, Spanish for house, C-A-S-A. I think it's casa.io, if I can remember correctly. They're trying to tackle this question. And I think the way they do it is something along the lines of, like, you pay, I don't know, $50 a year or something like that, right? And if you have a significant amount of wealth, stocks, crypto, whatever, every 6 months or so, they just check, are you still alive, right? And you put in your password. And if you are, great. If you're dead, they go through the process of making sure that, you know, legally you've gone through all the stuff, but they own one of the keys to your wealth. And your loved one or whoever you wanted to pass down has the other one, and they can do that particular passing of crypto to whoever you wanted it to. So I think the company was called casa.io. You may want to take a quick Google. I might be wrong about it. I'll try and reach out to you if I remember another time.
Yeah, that's right. I just looked it up. It's casa.io. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Missy, hi.
Hi, Dr. Hans, how are you? And everyone else on the platform. I just have a quick question to follow up. I've gotten registered for the class already, but I got the email this morning to join the text community. And when I clicked it, it seems like the link was broken or something where I couldn't follow through with it. So is there a way you can resend that, or what would I need to do to try to become a part of that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can resend that. And whenever like a link is broken or anything, you can get access, you know, via something I've sent, please know that I'm available on Instagram. If I don't see it, my assistant will see the message. You know, you can email me. I always want to make sure that there's so many avenues by which individuals can reach me, right? So you never have to kind of like wait for like a Clubhouse chat. You know, I need to make sure that everyone gets instant access. Yeah.
Oh, and you're right. I was en route to work this morning. As you know, the pharmacy world is chaotic, so I just hadn't had a chance to email you, but that was my plan. But when you sent the link for the Clubhouse, I just decided to ask real quick. But I'll definitely shoot you a DM.
Please do, yeah, because I want to make sure that you know that, you know, you can always reach me through multiple platforms.
Okay, thank you. Yeah,
my pleasure. Victor. Yeah, I know.
He's it's like Victor, 4 o'clock over there.
What time is it in Nigeria?
Yeah, it's like 3:57 a.m.
Victor, the champion.
Wow. Victor.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, hi Dr. Hans. Chris, thank you so much for this amazing time.
It's amazing to see your commitment to staying up for
Yeah. You know when you've been looking out for something for like a long time and you just found it and like can't just let it go for anything.
Absolutely.
Like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah, so my question is kind of funny, but then I hope I'm going to get an answer for that. Like, when it comes to the NFTs, I keep hearing like, you know, you purchase an NFT, you purchase a project, but then just like the way we purchase fractions of stocks, fractions of crypto, would there ever be a possibility of purchasing fractions of an NFT just in case maybe it's too expensive for an initial purchase or something?
Yeah, your question is not funny, actually. It's real. Because for projects like CryptoPunks, where the average punk costs about, you know, $500,000 or $500,000, it pretty much blocks out or keeps out others who want to have some fractional exposure to CryptoPunks, right? So the short answer to your question is yes, and it's happening now. You can have fractional ownership of NFTs. And it's amazing you asked the question, because I'm going to write it as, you know, a slide to include in my presentation, fractional ownership. The website, I don't know if I can remember it offhand. It's either fractional.io or fractionalized or something. I'm going to look it up and I'll tell you before we get off this chat. But yes, they have fractionalized CryptoPunks. I even bought and owned some at a certain point in time. And whenever, you know, CryptoPunks, you know, move up in terms of the floor price, the value of the fractional ownership piece moves also in an equivalent fashion. So that was amazing. Like, it's like having that kind of exposure. The only downside is you own a fraction of the CryptoPunk, but you don't own one CryptoPunk. And if you own one CryptoPunk, oh my gosh, it just opens you. If you own an NFT, which isn't fractionalized, it means you are part of that community. You are like a legit part of the community. If you own a fraction of an NFT, it just means that you want exposure to the growth of that NFT. You're not necessarily like one of them, right? So if they were holding an event or hosting an event or some kind of networking thing, you won't be able to get access to that event because your wallet is not going to have the token. Does that make sense? But you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you do have that financial exposure so that you can grow your portfolio. So yes, the answer is yes. And I saw Chris was unmuting.
Oh no, I was just I was agreeing. I was thinking about the CryptoPunks as well. I know that's a big one it's going to be interesting because, you know, a lot of different governments they're trying to figure out like how do we tax this? You know, they think about it one way, but you know, if it's fractionalizing a piece of art like an NFT, that's one thing, but these NFTs are programmable contracts. It doesn't have to be art. And so we are on the cutting edge here. We are so far ahead of what Congress and legislation and rules in your particular government are even thinking about. So, I mean, just the simple thought of fractionalizing an NFT brings a lot of other questions from a government standpoint that we as holders of either NFTs or fractionalized NFTs have to be aware of, kind of always be looking at what does my local government think about this, or what is my tax implication of this? That's always something I try and keep in the back of my mind. So yeah, great question, Victor.
Very, very good question. And, you know, so the website is fractional.art. So fractional.art, that's the website, fractional.art, A-R-T. And to Chris's point, it's not like the entire CryptoPunks, 10,000 NFTs are going to be fractionalized. No. Literally, someone who owns an NFT can decide to create fractions of their NFT. Remember, if an individual owns an NFT, they are the sole owner. Someone else cannot come and create fractional pieces of it. No, it doesn't happen. You are the sole owner of that NFT. So you can take it and decide to create fractions of it for others, right? And to Chris's point, well, will the SEC view it as a security? I have no idea. We're so early with regards to the laws around this. But yeah, it's once again, the future for crypto and this industry is just so bright.
Wow, thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Hans. This is really, really so helpful. Thank you, Christy.
Yeah, Chris. Chris. Yeah, Victor, thank you. As always, just really appreciate you being here. So yeah, you all, it's, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll begin wrapping up. Open the floor up one more time. Was there anything that anyone needed clarification on before we wrap up? Awesome. So yeah, you all, thank you. This was absolutely fun. I just get super excited just knowing the opportunity that we have in front of us. And as a group that often is left out, as a group that often comes in late as it relates to the ability to build wealth, as a group that is kept out, whether it's by rules, policies, XYZ, for the first time, there is an open system that is inviting any of us to participate. And the individuals who just go out about their day not paying attention, they are going to miss out. And it's going to be a very painful experience for them when they wake up, that's the term, 10 years from now, realize that the few people who are paying attention own most of the tokens in this Web3 world. And the assets in this Web3 world. And they've been just holding fiat currency and fiat investments for a decade. They are going to be very upset but they are not going to have anyone to blame. Because individuals who will be holding tokens, individuals with digital assets, individuals with crypto assets, they are going to be incredibly wealthy. Incredibly wealthy. What we see happening, naming rights of like, you know, huge stadiums that you can't even imagine that a crypto company is going to own, right? Or Coinbase being the first official sponsor of the NBA or WNBA. There's a lot of this that will continue to happen. And as the value of crypto assets continue to increase, it puts even more money in the pockets of these companies as well as crypto holders. That means they can do even more. So yeah, what a great time to be alive. What a time to be alive. It's comparable to being alive when you have to transition from using, lanterns to being able to flick a switch and see electricity in your house, right? Or having to ride a horse versus hop in a car and you are zipping across town, right? What a time to be alive. And those who are paying attention are going to benefit greatly. So once again, you all, thank you so much for being here. I will continue to do what I always do, which is to continue to learn, identify where are the rich and wealthy allocating their investments. And to discover this, it's a lot of due diligence, but luckily, that's what I'm passionate about. So yeah, I'll continue to do my part because I just, you know, when I think about the fact that rich and wealthy people have the Goldman Sachs and, you know, the JP Morgans and analysts and family offices that are consistently doing research and providing cutting edge research to them, and it enables them to be ahead. I was asking myself, who is doing the same for underrepresented groups? Who is doing that for us? So that's what I wanted to do, simply, in a nutshell. Just stay at the cutting edge. Try and identify. You know, I'm not trying to reinvent the box or do anything spectacular. No. I'm just paying attention to what are the smartest and wealthiest people doing. And it's not that just one person is doing it. No, no, no. I need to see a trend. What are most of them doing? And instantly, I know this is where we're going. Or I know this is where we're going. Now I have to go do my due diligence. And once I do my due diligence and then it checks off, then I can bring it to you all. And typically, I bring it to you all via social media, right? I start to talk about it. So for the most part, a large part of the content that I share is for free. But the individuals that want to dive in, become knowledgeable, and be able to just move at a faster pace with regards to, you know, whatever they do, whether it's investing, acquiring crypto assets, or now NFTs, those who just want to move at a faster pace, they are the ones who sign up for my program and I'm able to work with them directly. So yeah, you all, thank you so much for tuning in. It was so much fun. So Chris, Tanya, Lydia, Ndidiye Amaka, Missy, Victor, have a great rest of your day. And yeah, we'll speak soon.
Good night. Y'all.
All right, good night. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Good night. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dr. Hans. Good night.
Night, night.